Good morning, or whenever you're listening to this podcast. It's 10:35 a.m. on Friday, June 7th, 2024. And, you're listening to Junie of the Theta Game Podcast. Thank you for being here. And today, there was the Roaring Kitty, or Deep Effing Value, stream today on YouTube, where 640,000 people showed up to listen to hear him talk about GameStop. The stream started like 20 minutes late, and me and the stream, because I stream every Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific time, DFE or Roaring Kitty stream also started at 9 a.m. Pacific time. So I thought that maybe I just do a watch party. And so we had a good amount of people in the Twitch stream of mine just watching the YouTube stream of Roaring Kitties. And the stream started, his stream started 20 minutes late. And people were kind of freaking out in chat. Again, there's like 600K people in there just talking about like, oh, should we sell? Should we buy? What are we waiting for? Like, what's taking so long? And eventually we see, as 20 minutes goes by, there's a timer that counts down from 20 seconds. And then he has this really good production intro showing his cats or someone's cats. In this like montage of like epic music, and the production value was definitely there. He's won a lot of money or made a lot of money from GameStop before, so we can definitely tell some of his money went to some production quality of his streams. And the stream started off as, pretty casual. He's just saying hi. He's really interactive with the chat, asking, hey, is the chat there? Say hi if you're there. And everyone's like piling in. Initially it started with like 400K, but then, it built up to 600K. And people are all asking him questions and stuff. And he definitely put a precedence of like, hey, this is just me streaming, catching up with you guys. There's no intent here. We're just going to see where this goes. And I'm just going to talk about, things that I haven't really necessarily planned on. But if we talk about GameStop, we might talk about GameStop. At the market open, GameStop opened at around $37, shooting up really quickly up to like $48. And then since then, up until the stream, had corrected to maybe, stream started at like $9.20. Then it went down to $34. So huge, huge price swings up until when the stream started. And as the stream went on, initially there was a spike from 33 to maybe like 38, but after that the stock has started going down, and right now as I'm talking it's at $28.30 and still fluctuating as the market's still open as I'm recording this episode. But yeah, there wasn't a lot of meat in the live stream, as he declared, right? Like, he wasn't promising anything. I think a lot of people hold him to a lot of expectation, but of course he has to be careful with what he says, and he knows that. Even though he might joke around with about like lawyer talk, oh, can I say that? Should I have lawyers in the room? He plays this fine line of like trolling, but also being responsible. Like, he's not stupid enough to actually say anything really too bad or too dicey, but he does play that line pretty finely. And about halfway into the stream, he starts talking about GameStop. He talks about how the first part of his thesis has come true and that he successfully traded it, which is true. He predicted the short squeeze the first time around, made a lot of money on that. And then now he's sort of back and trading this second thesis of his, which has yet to be proven, about Ryan Cohen or GameStop's business model transforming and then turning the ship around. Roaring Kitty goes a little bit into just about how much he respects Ryan Cohen and how he believes that he would be the one to transform GameStop if anyone could, Ryan Cohen and his team. I am a fan of believing in the CEOs of businesses that you invest in, but it's not the main reason why I would invest in a business. For example, I love Lisa Su running AMD. I love Jensen Huang running NVIDIA. Both very great CEOs, but I wouldn't bet my entire farm or millions of dollars based on the CEO. It could be a trading strategy difference between me and Roaring Kitty. Of course, he's much more successful than I am, so what do I know? But I think relying too much on a CEO to do something, is pretty bad, for especially maybe for a more fundamental or a beginner trader, you know, leaving the more advanced stuff to people like Roaring Kitty, maybe leaning into those, one of those directions is a good thing. But if you're just starting out and you're picking up some inspiration here, I wouldn't bet too hard on a CEO, especially, you know, since his Roaring Kitty's second thesis, the transformation of the business, hasn't quite materialized yet. So Ryan Cohen still has stuff to prove, but Roaring Kitty does have a lot of initial belief in him. After talking about Ryan Cohen and his team transforming the GameStop business, he goes into talking a little bit about the GameStop chart. He brought up the weekly all-time chart and thought that the double bottom of the $10 sort of price on the weekly all-time graph, if you wanted to pull that up on your own, you can go to your favorite brokerage app, look at all-time, and then put the interval to weekly. There is a double bottom at $10, and he drew a straight line across, and people were like, oh, Pog, maybe this is like some really cool analysis. I'm not necessarily a huge fan of, again, betting the entire farm on a double bottom or a technical analysis pattern. I think technical analysis is really cool if it's based on top of a underlying thesis. And, you know, if he fundamentally believes that Ryan Cohen will transform the business, and then he saw the, you know, double bottom, that's kind of cool. But there needs to be, I think, just a little bit more substance there, which I think he has. But he just didn't share it on the stream. What I would love for him to do was talk more about like the plans from moving from the legacy business model that he brought up. He talked about how GameStop's legacy business model isn't working, that the new changes are working or that can work, that the new ones that haven't been implemented yet. But he didn't go into depth into that. He just said that that's more or less that what he's relying on. But it really felt like he was skirting the real reasons why he was in the GameStop position. And I don't know the legal ramifications of what he can or can't say, but that was definitely what was missed by me. Talking a little bit more specifically about his positions, he revealed again his portfolio. He has 5 million shares of GameStop at a cost basis of $32.08. When he showed his portfolio on stream, he showed that he has lost on his share position $72 million just on his share position. Of course, in total gains, he's still up 50%. So he was up at the time of the stream when he was showing it 54 mil. So even though he had lost 72 mil like right before the stream or during the stream, he's still, you know, 50 mil up, which is an insane number. And then he has options. He has 120,000 calls on GameStop that expire on June 21st. So as of right now, that's like 2 weeks away at the time of this recording. And he's up, let me see, 92 million on his stock options there, or the call contracts. His day's gain for the morning was a loss of 163 mil. So in total, you know, as he was showing his portfolio, let me just add those two numbers together, 163 and 72. He was down $235 million for the day as he was streaming. And, you know, I skipped over it, but he actually opened up his intro in a sling. His arm was in a sling. He has bandages all over his body, and he was like acting like he was in like a ICU bed. It was pretty funny. Like, it was a good way to open up, and I think it was alluding to him about to show his portfolio. But yeah, being down $235 million while live on stream is insane. It's crazy. It's crazy. Needless to say, he is still very much up. So his total gains from the time of the stream, that's 92K up plus 54. So he's in total up $146 million right now. So even though he lost 235 mil for the day, he's still up 146 mil, which is nothing to really like overlook. And then he goes on to essentially just end the stream. You know, I think a lot of people criticized him of, you know, his mannerisms and the way he was speaking. You know, he seemed kind of nervous. I think maybe just in general, he might be an like somewhat awkward person. I know I would be, especially in front of 630,000 people watching you live on stream lose 235 million live on stream. I think a lot of people would act pretty weird in that circumstance. So I give him the benefit of the doubt. I think he executed his stream pretty well. I wish it started on time because I got stuff to do today. My parents are going to meet my fiance's parents for the first time today. So we got to prep everything in terms of like dinner and stuff. But yeah, it was a exciting morning. Definitely provided me with some content. And it was fun watching it with everyone on my Twitch channel at twitch.tv/realthetagang, where again, I stream live Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Pacific time. Finishing the podcast episode off with just a little bit of status updates on where my positions are at, where my portfolios are at. Right now, I'm 53K up on a 300K position, or 300K portfolio rather, on my main account. And so I'm up 17.6% for the year on my main account, and on my 5K account, I'm up 31%, and that's the portfolio value of $7,866.65. So it's kind of cool being able to, again, trade a much smaller portfolio that's more relatable to like the general audience. And then if anyone advanced or maybe a little bit older wants to trade, you know, with a trading buddy, with a larger portfolio, I could provide that too. So I can do both, essentially, is what I'm trying to say. And I think the success for the 5K account for this week and a little bit of last week is actually venturing more and more into buy rights, where I buy 100 shares and sell the at-the-money covered call. That's been working really well for me with Robinhood. And in terms of the main account has been standing pretty still. But I'm excited to trade NVIDIA next week. So I've been doing a lot of portfolio management, getting a lot more cash just ready to be able to trade NVIDIA next week. So by the time you're listening to this, the NVIDIA split would have already happened. For every one share of NVIDIA, you received 9. I think the main question that everyone's asking, including me, is, you know, if you receive 9 extra shares, are you going to sell some for a profit? And who's going to be buying those shares that are being sold? And are there going to be enough buyers selling those profit-taking shares, essentially, to keep the price stable? So I don't know necessarily where it's going to go, but I'm excited to trade it, especially since it's going to cost a lot less to buy 100 shares and do a covered call. So that'd be really cool to see. I'm going to be very active with trading on Monday. So if you wanted a first-time stream to come by, I think Monday would be really fun. Let's see. NVIDIA, talk about my main portfolio, 5K portfolio. I think that's it. Just a huge, huge thank you to everyone that's been showing up to the Twitch streams. And thank you for everyone that's been using the website recently. Website's traffic has absolutely spiked. I think a lot of the GameStop sort of craze has brought a lot of people that were interested back in the GameStop era back interested again. Maybe they've learned their lessons and they're not trading GameStop again, but maybe they're like, oh, you know, I haven't looked at the stock market for a while. You know, I'll look at my Robinhood more. I'll keep up with GameStop, but maybe I'll try another strategy. So I think I'm getting a gist of that, and seeing website traffic go up, new user signups go up, total trades logged went way up. Just a lot of things to be thankful for. So again, happy with the amount of growth that I've received so far since I've taken this full time. If you want to help support and join the Discord trading community that I sort of moderate and that I'm a part of, you can help support at patreon.com/ThetaGang. You know, maybe ThetaGang isn't for the person that wants, you know, just trade alerts like maybe you find on trading services on, you know, Twitter or X, where people charge thousands of dollars for trade alerts. What I do provide is, well, first of all, alerts. I do show my trades and they get pinged to a channel in Discord. You get to see when I close a position and when I open position. But you also see alerts of other people, other patrons that are in the Discord. So you really get a sense of community trading alongside other transparent people, which I don't think any other platform can provide you, because there's a lot of emphasis on only sharing your winning trades amongst other people in other Discords. My Discord is different in a sense that it's more for learning and being active and just being a nice person. I don't want any, you know, mean, egotistical, smart people. I don't need those type of people in Discord. I would love smart people that are nice, but I don't want to curate an environment that emphasizes, you have to win to be able to post. There's a lot of learning. There's a lot of genuine questions being asked. And if you feel like you fit that description, and if you like, you want to take that next step and like elevate your game and trade alongside other people that think similarly like you, like being transparent, being nice, have a good learning environment, then the Discord or supporting me on Patreon is definitely a good option. And of course, I am financially motivated to say that because, again, I do this full time. I just thought I would do a self plug here. Thank you for listening. And for the patrons that are signed up and part of the Discord and part of, you know, the trailers that we all see in the Discord, and thank you for just being transparent alongside with me. I'm going to bring up the list here. Give me 1 second. Going to be bringing up, and then maybe we'll talk a little bit on the 1%. This podcast episode is kind of short. Let's see. Bring up the database. Boom. Query for patrons. Boom. So a huge shout out to the patrons that make this full-time journey of mine possible. That's Fancy Wolf, Los Pepes, Mods, Upstream Puddle, Insys88, Espresso Bean, Joe Quirt, EDC, Travella, Desserts, Kevlar22, Bachata Thug, Nala, J Perkins86, Louis BG, Troop 947, T-Wall3252, LPL, Alexander Kerm, Slow Motion, Rusty RST, Cassie, The Jester, Grandpa95, Gruffalo, Young Rich, Chicken Dinner, Kaput, Sumatrix, KJ Martin, Statistically Random, Turbo Ricky, Maestro XC, Banadushi, Theta Collector, Tyler LM97, Lord Skeletor, Major Tekle Me Elmo, Averillion, RS Schmitty, Y Team, Danube9000, Jayford LOL, Danger 10, McFly, Spicy Lemons, Husk P, Mr. Integrity, Rooster, Big Dilio, Lloydo, Bearded Savage, Danghai, Clutch, Asha Kabat, Bustin, Justin, Andy V, SWH, JH, Spammy Spam, RF Man, Mememeh, Vegeta, Plank, Mumble, Rit, Can't Make Money IRL, and Maltman 1856. Oh, yeah. It's like I'm looking out my window right now. It's like, it's kind of foggy. It's kind of gloomy. Kind of reminds me of home. And I feel like at peace right now. I feel like, you know, because my parents are on the way driving right now down to see me. Later today, we're going to be meeting my fiance's parents at a Vietnamese restaurant. Of course, I'm going to try to pay. I'm going to have to use the restroom. And then, you know, I'm going to pay for dinner there. But I feel good. Like, I think earlier this week, I was pretty nervous. But and nervous more for my parents, you know? Like, my parents are so nice, so kind. I love my parents to death. And I could just tell that they're very excited, right? It's not, like, nervous and scared. They're, like, nervous and excited to meet my fiance's parents. And it's going to be interesting. I don't think my parents have really talked to other adults in a long time. My parents are each other's best friends, so they just stay inside all day. They walk, they do everything together, you know. They go to church together, they go on walks together, they stay at home together. But, you know, in terms of, like, meeting new random people, they don't really do that. And I mean, granted, like, I don't necessarily love doing that either, but I think jiu-jitsu helps me with that a lot. But yeah, so that'll be later today. And I'm excited. And something that's, I think, personally helping me be more excited about all this, like, you know, Vietnamese engagement party, you know, that's going to be tomorrow, where my family's meeting my parents are meeting my fiance's parents today. But tomorrow, my parents are meeting my fiance's family tomorrow. So today's like an introductory type of dinner, just my parents and her parents. And what's helped me sort of ease my feelings about all of this, you know, because of course I'm nervous for my mom, because, you know, she has some, she has some anxiety stuff. She could get anxious if she gets too excited, and you know, there's side effects to that. But something that's really helped me, and I think it's helped my mom calm down a little bit too, is that like I've been verbalizing just how much I like appreciate them, because I do that already. But I think there is a little bit of anxiousness coming from my parents, because my parents know that my fiance's family is really close. And my family is not as close. We are close. We're very small. At least, let me phrase it this way. My family, or my parents, know that her family is very large. I think my mom could get a little insecure about that. And, you know, I just remind her, especially like over the phone as we talk, you know, because I call my parents every day at like 4:30, right before jiu-jitsu, just to check in. And I think something that's been helping is like me verbalizing, it helps her and me verbalizing that even though like my family or our family is really small, I'm really happy the way that I turned out and how happy I am that everything has turned out the way it has. Despite like, you know, my mom and stepdad were working really hard, and sometimes I'd be home alone, which is totally okay. You know, I was playing World of Warcraft, or maybe I was playing Final Fantasy VII. As a kid, you really don't care, okay? Like, I didn't necessarily really mind, so I don't want this to sound like a sob story or whatever, but my mom could get insecure about that sometimes when it gets brought up. But I do thank my mom for always working so hard, because I know it, and I'm just so grateful for it all the time. She'd be sleeping all the time. No, we wouldn't necessarily go on vacation. But as these talks have gone up, sort of increased just about like, oh, visiting families and meeting new people and meeting new family members on the other side, there's like this like strange you know, gray area where we're just kind of dancing around it. But I've been like really just bringing it up, just saying like, yo, I'm really like, yo, mama. You know, I'm just like, I'm really happy the way I turned out, and thank you for raising me the way you did. And yeah, I feel like I'm closer to my parents more than ever throughout this entire process. So for those that are married already, you know, maybe with kids even, maybe you guys have gone through something similar with your own parents, maybe, and throughout this process. But I thought that this was great. My dad will also be there too. So my parents are divorced, and my mom lives with my stepdad, or rather, they live with each other. And my dad lives down here, closer to me, in Southern California. And we're gonna go. We're all gonna be at the family sort of thing together tomorrow. So that'll be really fun. You know, my dad, I think I'm more like my dad than anyone else in my family, despite, you know, me living with my mom and stepdad for like the majority of my life. Me and my dad laugh exactly the same. It's so funny whenever we like laugh at a joke at the same time. It's like we laugh in unison, and our ha-has are like insane. It's so funny when people hear it. It makes me laugh every time that happens. It makes me laugh even harder. It makes him laugh even harder. It's great. And I guess as this latter half of the podcast episode is longer than the first half, I guess I'll just end with like, I think it's becoming meta to not want to be married. Right, I think it's easy to just want to focus on yourself and be happy. You know, I think it's meta to even just be single and not have a girlfriend. And for those that might be in that mentality, I would just like to be someone on the other side that, you know, I'm not saying it's the best. I'm not saying it's what is correct, but I am saying it is nice. You know, and just have that be just another data point. I'm not trying to say like, oh, you need to have a girlfriend, you need to have a boyfriend, you need to have any of this stuff. Because yeah, you should focus on yourself and be happy on your own. Like that's like first and foremost probably the most important thing in your entire life. But having someone else and going through all the stress of planning a wedding, or, you know, compromising on things that you don't agree on, those are things that I would never have learned unless if I have had met my partners that I've had up to my fiance. And even with my fiance, we still, you know, get into, you know, hefty conversations, not arguments, but we'll like, you know, discuss things. And those have definitely taught me a few lessons of my own. Of course, she's always correct, so, you know, just jot that down. It's probably not the best way to advocate for finding a partner to people that are interested in women, but anyway, it's taught me a lot, and I'm grateful for the experience. And I'm excited for this weekend. I hope everyone's excited for your weekend as well. It's never too late to learn something new. And yeah, just have fun in life. It is more fun with someone else. But life is plenty fun on your own too. So don't give up if you've sort of labeled yourself as someone that is going to be single forever. I don't think that's the case. If this doesn't apply to you and you're like, wow, who would think that? Then, you know, this message just wasn't for you. But I do think the newer kids, the newer age, being stuck in the social media stuff, I think it is important to say that, hey, dude, finding a partner is actually kind of cool, and especially if you're mentally aware and, you know, sort of socially mature enough to handle a partner and be willing to compromise and go through all that stuff. Because chances are you're probably not good at compromising if you've never had a partner before. And it's a great sort of life step that I think everyone can take. So that's my little boomer ramble of like, don't stop wanting to be with other people. Like, it's cool to be on your own, but it is more fun being with someone else at the for the net result. There are times where it doesn't feel good, but most of the time it does feel better. Thanks for listening. I'll see everyone in the next podcast episode. Yeah. Later.